Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, the show that brings you man-on-the-street interviews, celebrity guests, and groundbreaking research. Our show is also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. I'm general dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko, and thank you for joining me today.
The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, or parent company. To hear a replay of this show or one of the other great shows that previously aired, log on to dentallyspeaking.com or iTunes, keywords Dr. Kvitko or Dentally Speaking. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kvitko.
Hello and welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. Hello, I'm general dentist Dr. Kvitko, and thank you for joining me here today. I really appreciate it. I think we're going to have a great show. We're talking about children's dental health, but before we get to that, let me just mention that go to our Facebook page at Dr. Kvitko, Medicine Associates, and like us, because these days it doesn't matter what good of how good of a dentist you are, it's how many likes you have, I guess. But anyway, also remember that all of these podcasts are available on dentallyspeaking.com or iTunes, all right? Now, also, something that has to do with children's dental health is this year we are going to hold a TeamSmile.org event at Nationwide Arena on May 3rd, and we need volunteers. What it is we'll be bringing in about 14 dental chairs. It's Team Smile has all this portable dental equipment, and they're going to bring it right to Nationwide Arena. About 250 children will receive free dental care that day, fillings, baby root canals, extractions, cleanings, oral hygiene instruction, whatever they happen to need. And some of the Blue Jacket players will be there, and the cheerleaders, and Stinger will be there. It's going to be really neat, but we need volunteers, both dental and non-dental. So if you go to either drkvitko.com or dentallyspeaking.com, there's an icon there that says the Dr. Kvitko Charitable Fund. If you click on it, it'll take you to a page that allows you to volunteer, and so I would appreciate it if you would do that. Now, you probably know that dental care is the top unmet need in the United States, also in Ohio. There are about 100 million people that don't have dental insurance, and even those who do find that it's woefully inadequate. Only 40% of people in the U.S. visit a dentist on a regular basis. Now, you might know that February, besides being Heart Health Month and a few others, was Children's Dental Health Month, a chance to focus on the dental health of our children. So today, I'm proud to have with me in the studio Dr. Thickershee. And Dr. Thickershee is an associate professor at the Ohio State University College of Dentistry. He received his Doctor of Dental Surgery degree, which is the DDS, from the New York University College of Dentistry in 1998. He completed the Advanced Education in General Dentistry, which is known as an AEGD, program at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base right here in Dayton, Ohio. He earned his Certificate and Master's of Science degree in Pediatric Dentistry at the Ohio State University College of Dentistry right here in Columbus, at Children's Hospital, Nationwide Children's Hospital. Upon graduation in 2003, Dr. Thickershee was assigned to the Ramstein Air Base in Germany to serve as Chief Pediatric Dentistry Element, where he also served on the medical staff at Langstuhl Regional Medical Center. Dr. Thickershee currently serves on the medical staff at Columbus Children's Hospital. He is a diplomat of the American Board of Pediatric Dentistry. His research interests include the connection between systemic and oral disease, factors affecting early childhood caries, dental trauma, and oral health disparities. Dr. Thickershee, thank you so much for getting up and being on my show so early.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
It's very nice. I love when people actually come into the studio because there's this thing when you can look in the person's eye, you know, and sometimes I'm like asking them a question and I see that look on their face like, oh, don't ask me that, or...
I don't have that look right now, do
you? No, you don't.
Okay,
you don't.
Good.
We haven't gotten any of the tough questions yet. Anyway, but let's, so Children's Dental Health Month, you know, as you heard, there are other things that are celebrated in February. In fact, a few weeks ago, I talked about them. Believe it or not, it's like banana month or avocado month, and it's something about save a stray rabbit month. There's about 12 of them out there. And it's also African-American Health Awareness Month. But anyway, so Children's Dental Health Month, is it still relevant? I mean, aren't dental cavities, you know, kind of a thing of the past anyway?
You know, dental, that's, at times that can be the perception, but you know, there are groups of children, specifically the younger children, 2 to 5 years old, where there's actually been an increase in dental caries. This is the only group, you know, of all the ages where we've actually had an increase. This is according to the CDC, Centers for Disease Control. And so what we have is, when you put on top of this, groups that are living in poverty, we have groups where there are generations of children that have poor access to dental care and kind of severe dental disease.
Right. And I think that, didn't we figure out that what caused this increase, or at least part of it, was when we switched to bottled water, and this water, the water that used to have fluoride that kids were drinking, now it's, they're drinking bottled water, so they're not getting the fluoride that they were intended to get.
Well, I mean, that's part of it, that there is this change in fluoride use as far as bottled water and tap water. The other thing is, you know, we're starting, the recommendation now is that we see children from the age of 12 months up. By the time they have their first tooth, they should visit a dentist. And really, that's, you know, in the past decade, been the big focus, is trying to get kids in earlier to the dentist.
You know, they even that was even a suggestion when I was in dental school 33 years ago. And obviously, like you said, when they get their first tooth, the thought was get the child in the chair, check the gum pads, make sure everything looks good. For me, it's more of a getting them used to the atmosphere, getting them used to the dental chair, making it a fun, we call it a pretend appointment, where they come in and we let them ride, you know, isn't that fun, you know? So that they're, and in fact, the youngest child I've ever treated was my own son, full appointment at age 2, which is relatively young. The reason is he was at my office so much, he was so familiar, that he just climbed up in the chair, opened up real wide, and said, "Daddy, do me," you know?
Yeah. And you know, a lot of the focus of that first visit for when we have infants isn't even really looking at the teeth. I mean, we look at the teeth, we look at the gum pads, but we spend a lot of time preparing the parents as far as what to do with brushing, what to do with fluoride, what to do with the diet. You know, it's interesting that so many parents don't believe that baby teeth need to be brushed until later on. And the focus we go back and back to is early intervention, really paying attention when they first come in.
I have a grandchild now. He's 2.5. And my son and daughter-in-law and my grandson were visiting a few weeks back when I did a show pretty much about fluoride use, you know, the fact that in cold weather climates, there's more fluoride in the water. In hot weather climates, there's less fluoride in the water, the assumption being you're going to drink more of it and that sort of thing. And so I came home to, we always get together for coffee afterwards, and my daughter-in-law says, "I guess we should have been brushing Nikki's teeth already." And I said, "Yeah." And so even in people that you think know, like my own son and daughter-in-law, it's easy for people to not even think of that because they're just busy. You know, there's so many things that we have tugging at us, and so they're gonna start take the rag on the, you know, the finger and getting them used to it. Now, what about what kinds of long term effects though can dental cavities have on a child? So you got a child, they have all these cavities. What's the long term issue there?
Well, this is something that, you know, I'm particularly interested in studying, and we're studying a lot in our department at OSU and at Nationwide Children's. And what we're seeing is that kids are using emergency rooms as their primary care dentist in many cases. And so we have some kids who are out there going as much as 40 days before they see a dentist when there's pain. And during this time, they're on Tylenol. And Tylenol is now the number one cause of acute liver failure in children, Tylenol overdose.
Wow.
So it's something that we are seeing more of. That just really scratches the surface. But we've done studies looking at behavior differences. I mean, you imagine someone who's just in chronic pain.
Yes.
For a long time. I mean, it affects behavior. It can affect school performance.
Well, you can't concentrate. You can think of nothing else, you know, but your pain.
Right. And actually, in 2008, the American Academy of Pediatrics, for the first time, listed untreated dental cavities as a potential cause for child abuse and neglect.
That's actually good to hear, because my listeners, most of them will remember the story about DeMonte Driver.
Yes.
DeMonte Driver was a 12-year-old boy in Baltimore in 2007, died from dental cavities. because he didn't get taken in time. You said 40 days. I don't know how long it was. He developed a massive infection, which spread to his brain. And even after two surgeries, I think within about 4 days of being taken to the emergency room, he was dead.
Mm-hmm.
From dental, $86, I think it was reported it would have cost to maybe take that tooth out.
Right. And the, you know, unfortunately, I mean, that's a horrible, horrible thing to happen to anyone. The one of the outcomes of DeMonte's passing was it happened in the backyard of Washington, D.C.
Right.
So it made
right.
a lot of lawmakers take note.
Right.
But that happens really across the country. I think a week or two after that, there was a child in Mississippi that, after having dental extractions, passed away from post-operative swelling.
Wow.
So
just closed off his airway.
It closed off his airway. And so the big thing that we say is, you know, a toothache affects more than just the teeth. A toothache can really affect a child's overall well-being, you know, and just their daily function.
It really does. And just by the way, the DeMonte Driver case was when Team Smile was founded. So Dr. William Bush was so upset by that, so struck by that, that he said, you know what, this is the wealthiest nation on the planet. We can't have our children dying because they weren't taken to a dentist. And that was the beginning of it. So there's been some good come out of that. And luckily, DeMonte has not been forgotten.
Right.
And I like to say, especially when it's a family member or something, is that a person's really not dead unless they're forgotten. So DeMonte kind of lives on in all these children that are getting treatment because of his unfortunate death. Hey, we do have to go to a break. Hang with us. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, and we'll be right back.
Stay tuned to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
If you love Asian cuisine, you owe it to yourself to try Wang's Teriyaki Asian Takeout Restaurant. Known for their better quality and lower prices, at Wang's Teriyaki, you can eat in, pick up your food for carryout, or let them deliver their delicious entrees right to your home, as fresh as if the chef cooked it on the grill right in front of you. Wang's Teriyaki is conveniently located at 4330 North High Street in Clintonville. Call them at 614-261-8881. That's 614-261-8881. Wang's Teriyaki, open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week.
Hi, this is Jeff with Myers Jewelers. Make that special someone happy with a gift from Myers Jewelers. Myers Jewelers, the home of the world-famous Myers Jewelers Gold Rose, now available in 12 assorted colors. Give the rose that lasts forever. Another great gift is Pandora bracelets and beads. At Myers Jewelers, we have a Pandora boutique within our store, stocked with all the latest Pandora beads and jewelry. Come visit the family on Stringtown Road in Grove City and experience Myers Jewelers.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Are you afraid of being seen without your teeth? Are you tired of taking your teeth out every night? Let us show you how implants and fixed bridges can give you a smile that never comes out. Interested? Call us,
262-9588. Dr. Kvitko and Associates.
Experience, artistry, creativity. There are still professions where these words mean something. Studio B Hair Design still believe that practice does make perfect. Whether it's a precision cut, custom color, or something uniquely your own, Studio B can help you find just the right look, all in a comfortable, relaxing atmosphere right in the heart of Clintonville. Let Studio B Hair Design give you the best professional hair care at the best price. And should you need a quick gift idea, why not give a Studio B gift certificate for a birthday, anniversary, or subtle way of telling that special someone your hair needs help? So when looking for a fresh approach to your hair, do what lots of people do in Central Ohio. Trust experience. Trust the professionals at Studio B Hair Design. Studio B Hair Design, 21 Brighton Road, just off High Street in Clintonville. Call for your appointment now, 614-263-8661. 263-8661.
State ascoltando Dentally Speaking con il dottor Kvitko, qui sulla vostra radio preferita.
Well, we're back, and we are with Dr. Bobby Thickershey. He is a pediatric dentist. He is an associate professor at The Ohio State University College of Dentistry, and he was nice enough to get up and come into the studio with me this morning. We're talking about children's dental health. And so let me just reiterate what you said there, Dr. Thickershey, because we have a Dr. Kvitko's question of the day every week. And you said that the most reliable predictor of dental disease in adult teeth is what?
Is dental disease in kids' teeth.
Okay. So if the kids have cavities in their baby teeth, they're going to have cavities in their adult teeth. And now, is the connection because they just don't have the brushing habits and so it just kind of carries forward, or is it a genetic kind of a thing?
There, you know, we're still studying the genetic component of that, but really it's dietary habits, dietary and hygiene habits, which are established so early in childhood and they just carry through adolescence and into adulthood. You know, one thing I wanted to note is one of the first times we have a generation of our armed services where people, really one of the top reasons that they're not deployable, that they're not able to go overseas, is dental problems.
You know,
and that's a generation of kids growing up with early childhood caries.
In the first Dentistry from the Heart event that I did, we had a 26-year-old young man who wanted to go into the military, but he couldn't because he had all these cavities. He needed his dental work done, and he couldn't afford to get it done. They wouldn't take him into the military. And kind of behind the scenes after Dentistry from the Heart was over, we made arrangements to take care. I took out all the bad teeth, filled the ones that we could save, and then I had a friend who's a prosthodontist make him an upper denture and lower partial, so he was then deployable, and he was able to go in. But yeah, I didn't even realize that the military won't take you if you have like impacted wisdom teeth, if you have decay.
Well, I mean, you know, you figure the last thing that you would want if you were out deployed in a site like Afghanistan,
oh, yeah,
is a toothache and no dentist around, because that affects your ability to function, the morale of the unit. So, I mean, it can be a serious issue.
Well, not only that, if you're hiding and you have to be real quiet or they find you and kill you and you go, my tooth, you're dead.
Yeah.
You know, there's another way a tooth cavity could kill you, right? Kind of sad, but true. Now, some people think that their baby teeth anyway, once they're going to fall out, doesn't the problem just go away when they fall out? I mean, why brush baby teeth?
Well, you know, a couple of things. We've talked about the fact that the dental cavities in kids is really the most reliable predictor as we get older.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is baby teeth essentially hold space,
right,
for the adult teeth to come in. Baby teeth function as far as aesthetics, feeding. All of these things do come into play. So you could have kids whose ability to eat is affected by having cavities everywhere and abscesses in their teeth. So there's a real serious quality of life component, and that's really what it's about. It's interesting, and I've noticed as I've spoken more with my colleagues and some state officials as well, as the definition of oral health really is becoming no pain.
Really?
And
instead of just no cavities.
Instead of just no cavities, it's
wow,
no pain, because that's what affects your ability to function.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, unfortunately a very crude kind of indicator, because we want to restore everything to health, but we want to make sure people aren't in pain. Kids are not in pain, and kids can't always tell you when they're in pain.
You know, I had she was 2.5 when we did this, and this little girl, she'd fallen, had her two front teeth completely knocked out. Couldn't be saved. I didn't know her at that point. By the time I met her, she was essentially dentulous in the front two primary teeth. And mom had been calling around to try to find a place where somebody could replace those two front teeth. Are you familiar with a groper appliance?
I am, yeah.
Okay. I'm amazed at how many local dentists weren't, because she made 5 or 6 phone calls and she couldn't find anybody that knew how to replace a couple front teeth. Now, granted, it's cosmetic. She was a little embarrassed about that. She said, I don't know, am I a bad mom? Should I even be worrying about this? Because, you know, the gums are healthy. It's just, really, it's a cosmetic issue. But she said she noticed her daughter not smiling or putting her hand up when she smiled. And she didn't want her to turn into this introverted little girl. She wanted her to be open, bubbly, laughing. And so, yeah, I said, we can make her an appliance. And the difference is just amazing. You know, it's kind of a cool thing to do because she smiles for the camera now, you know, after.
Right, right. Sometimes it's tougher to do that when you have kids who have just rampant decay everywhere, because an appliance like that just harbors bacteria.
It goes on the teeth.
It just sits there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in your case, you were talking about a trauma, and that's the peak age that we see trauma, those 2 to 3 year olds. So obviously they're, you know, and I've made those appliances, but it's case by case. It really depends on the parent's ability to to maintain and the child's ability to cooperate for the treatment.
Oh, it wasn't easy getting it in, let me tell you that. It was tough. Grandma was in the room, Mom was in the room, and she was not the happiest camper. But then when it was all done, she gave me a hug and said, thank you, you know, so it makes it all worth it. By the way, a Groper appliance, it has two little porcelain, they look like porcelain teeth, front two teeth, and it's attached to a wire that goes around to the back to the molars, and there's a band around a molar on each side, and then you don't see any of that. You just see the two front teeth, which look like natural teeth. Okay, so anyway, it was tough to do, but kind of rewarding. So what can parents do to make sure that their kids don't have these problems that we've been discussing?
Probably the best first step is that parents need to establish what's called a dental home. And this is any dental health office where the family has uninterrupted, continued, constant care. And as I said earlier, the recommendation is by 12 months of age,
Okay. We
have a dental home established. We're fortunate because the OSU College of Dentistry Pediatric Dental Clinic, you know, is a dental home, and many children come through there. I will tell you that some children who have special health care needs probably need to see a dentist even earlier than 12 months because their special health needs or special diets can really impact how their dental health is.
Okay. So give me an example of one of those diseases. I'm trying to picture. Obviously, these days we correct cleft lip, cleft palate in an infancy. I know something like Down syndrome tend to has a tongue thrust. What are other diseases may?
Well, I mean, I'll even, you know, if you look, about roughly 30 to 40% of infants born in Ohio are premature.
Okay.
And in prematurity, some kids will have what's called failure to thrive, which is just they don't gain weight, they're not eating well. So a lot of times, one remedy is to use things like Pediasure or these thick,
which are really
nutrient dense,
right,
and are good for the kid. They're horrible for the teeth.
Right.
And so when we see these kids, we don't try to change the medical recommendation, but we try to make sure the parents understand what they have to do. They probably have to be more vigilant in taking care of the teeth in that kind of an instance.
More water to rinse off the Pediasure that's on the teeth sitting in the
watching the feeding times. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. That's not something I had thought of, so that's pretty neat. I learned so much by just doing the show. It's really neat. Now, sippy cups can have water, but they can also have other things. And for some reason, it seems like more often than not, the sippy cup has something with sugar in it, right?
Yeah. And actually at Children's Hospital, we're fortunate. We have an infant oral health clinic, and it's run by one of our faculty, Dr. Homa Amini, and we have two hygienists who work there, and we see kids 0 to 3. It's one of the only kind of in the nation, 0 to 3 years old, 5 days a week.
You're just standing right outside the delivery room. Huh?
That's where we're going to get to eventually. You know, the deliverer and the dentist is right there. But when they surveyed and they looked at these kids, the habits, they found 20% of kids 0 to 3 actually had soda in their sippy cups.
Wow.
And that was really a revelation.
But
for us.
Let me just tell you what a lot of parents think, that if it's diet soda, it's okay.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's not, because of the acid.
Exactly.
Explain that.
So when you eat or drink, naturally your mouth becomes acidic, and that's so you can digest, et cetera. But then your saliva, your spit, serves a purpose. It buffers everything back up so that your teeth don't dissolve in this acid.
Right.
But if you take something like, even if it's diet, and you sip it throughout the day, or like over 2 hours, you sip a Diet Coke, what happens is that the mouth never gets a chance to recover. And so you just constantly have acid eating away at the teeth.
And you can do an experiment where you take a tooth and set it in a Petri dish full of Coca-Cola or Pepsi or Sprite. It doesn't have to be caramel color. The clear ones do it too. It's just the acid. You can set one in water, set one in a Petri dish of a soda pop, and just watch it dissolve in the lab.
Yeah, I mean, and it's amazing. And I'll tell you, really, that one of the worst ones, if you look at the pH, one of the most acidic ones is Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know,
Mountain Dew mouth,
you know, that's why we have that, because it's so acidic. It's almost like battery acid just eating away the teeth.
Yeah, it's really sad. And if you've made it into the dental literature, you probably don't want to, if it's in the literature, you probably don't want to be drinking it. Now, at the dental school, Ohio State University College of Dentistry, the kids that come there, they're going to be treated by students. And tell us about how those students are trained. I was one of them at one point, and so I have a pretty good... And by the way, we appreciate the folks that come to the dental school because that's how we learn. But tell us about their training and, you know, parents should feel comfortable bringing their children there, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I can tell you, you know, putting my money where my mouth is, my own son, Robert, he was treated by a dental student, had teeth taken out, cleaning, and you know, I have a very firm belief in our dental students. They're really among the top in the dental school applicant pool. We're very fortunate. They're really already the best of the best. We train them well. We look at their abilities. We look at the child's behavior abilities. We give them challenges to prepare them to treat the people of Ohio from, you know, 12 months up, including special needs. And we really challenge them with the patients that we give them, and we really pay close attention, and we supervise them very closely. So the students, the dental students, are some of the finest that I can recommend.
And you know, there's about, if I'm not mistaken, it's either 12 or 13 people for every opening in dental school. So that you're 12 or 13 people all want that spot.
Right, right, right.
And remember I said my youngest at 2 opened up his mouth and said, "Daddy, do me." He's the one, he now wants to be a dentist, and he's working, doing some prerequisites and hopes to apply this summer for 2014. So we'll see. Maybe it'll be a day where I'll be able to say, "Son, do me," instead of with the other. Okay, now, what about, I mean, obviously I'm a general dentist, you're a pediatric dentist. So what's the difference?
Well, if you look at a pediatric dental resident curriculum, we focus a lot on behavior management, behavior psychology, really to more depth.
You guys misbehave more than the general dentists?
More depth. Well, you know, the ideal goal is typically a pediatric dentist is going to get the children who are the most behaviorally challenged, mm-hmm. the youngest, the ones that you know, you see them coming down the street and you say, "I'm not going to mess with that kid." That typically is going to the pediatric dentist. Nowadays, what we do is really pediatric dentists serve as primary care dentists because we treat the entire child, and we treat cooperative children, uncooperative children. So our goal is really to get general dentists welcoming, more general dentists welcoming children into their office and utilizing pediatric dentists as specialists for those really difficult, challenging cases.
And the reason is, and I did some research like I always do, and there's about 81 million children in the United States right now between the ages of 0 to 18. And I think there's about 3,000 pediatric dentists nationwide. Is that about correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So if you do the math, which I did, that means there's only one pediatric dentist for every 27,000 children. And since the average dental practice has patient base somewhere between 3,000 and 5,000, clearly there aren't enough of you guys to go around. So what that means to me is we have to train our general dentists to have a great understanding of how to successfully work on children, right?
Right.
We just have to make sure that those that aren't being sent to the pediatric, dentists, which are the same thing, some people, two words for the same thing, are still receiving great care. And so really you only have time to handle the management problems, it seems.
Right.
Okay.
Well, if you look at organized pediatric dentistry in the state, in the city, in the country, really our goal is to partner with general dentistry as well as primary care physicians to get children to the right areas where they can be treated. So children, you know, our adolescent patients, making sure that they can be find a comfortable dental office, et cetera. One of the real challenges is transitioning special needs patients. And, you know, that's one of the things, Dr. Kvitko, we run into
this
the most.
This would be like mentally disabled,
yes.
Down syndrome, multiple disabilities.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ideally, we want to transition those to general dentists. And we just find such a challenge in getting general dentists who have the comfort level. And that's why we're focusing on training them in dental schools to really be comfortable with that population.
When we come back, I want to talk about how you go about doing that, because I remember my training at the Ohio State University College of Dentistry in the pediatric clinic. There are some things that happened there that I didn't agree with, that I thought that they were being a little bit too forceful with the child. And I actually had this really great pediatric resident that I got to work with, and I watched him, and I adopted his practices, and he didn't know this, but I ran into him about 5, 6, 7 years later and told him, and I'm going to explain what it is that I do for children here when we come back from the break. But remember, we talk about how there's a Dr. Kvitko question of the day each week, and so we're going to give out the question soon, but before we do, the lawyers tell us you need to listen to this.
This station will not be held liable for any contesting during Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Participation in the contest allows Dr. Kvitko to record and broadcast your name and call. One winner per household, prizes are non-transferable, cannot be substituted, and are subject to taxes and fees. This station cannot be responsible for the inability to enter the contest, whether due to equipment malfunction or telephone difficulties. All decisions of Dr. Kvitko concerning this contest or eligibility are final.
And now it's time for Dr. Kvitko's question of the day.
All right. And the question of the day is the most, let's see, how did you word it? You worded it, the most reliable predictor of dental disease in adult teeth is A, if a person was breastfed as an infant, B, if a person had dental disease in their baby teeth, C, if a person's parents both wore dentures, or D, if a person is a Michigan fan. All right, the question of the day is, the most reliable predictor of dental disease in adult teeth is A, if a person was breastfed as an infant, B, a person had dental disease in their baby teeth, C, if the person's parents both wore dentures, or D, if a person is a Michigan fan. The winner will receive free flowers from Weisdenber Florist delivered to your place of business this Tuesday afternoon. So go ahead and call 459-9769. Call now.
Hey, this is Olympic snowboarder Louis Vito, and make sure you stay tuned to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
Dentally Speaking is his talk show. Dr. Kvitko, let's go!
While most schools raise tuition every year, Assist to Succeed of Columbus's Dental Assisting School in Dublin is still less than $5,000. And that includes everything. Hi, this is Kendra O'Reilly, owner of Assist to Succeed of Columbus's Dental Assisting School, and I'm so proud of my students that have already made the first step in securing a great future for themselves as an in-demand dental assistant.
Hi, my name is Chrissy Lees from Utica. I am a mother of two who works full-time. These weekend classes work great for me. The course is very interesting, and these instructors are amazing. They really want you to succeed. It's only been 2 weeks, and I'm already getting hands-on experience in a dental office.
The next class begins on April 13th. Don't delay. To claim your space or to get more information, call 740-602-1250. That's 740-602-1250. Or go to assisttosucceedofcolumbus.com.
Mom, has your son or daughter been begging you to learn to play guitar, but you don't know where to go or who to talk to? Well, fret no more. Call Guitar Lessons Columbus today at 427-3187. We'll teach your child how to actually apply and use the fundamentals, learn to play an entire song, make new friends with guitar, and even play with a drummer, all in the first month of playing. The earlier they start, the better. So don't wait. Call Guitar Lessons Columbus today at 614-427-3187 or check us out online at guitarlessonscolumbus.com.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Have you always wanted a smile makeover but didn't know where to go? Here at Dr. Kvitko & Associates, we have thousands of happy patients. Stop in and see our before and after pictures. Call us at
262-9588. Dr. Kvitko & Associates.
Sie hören zu einer Rede über zahnärztliche Sachen mit Dr. Kvitko hier an Ihrer beliebtesten Station.
Hi, I'm Dominique Reigert. Like what you hear? Why not use the Dentally Speaking Show to promote your product or service by becoming a sponsor? Call 614-262-9588 to learn how. That's 614-262-9588. Call now or send an email to drkvitko@aol.com.
You wanna know how to make me smile? Take control on me just for the night. If I share my secret, you're gonna have to keep.
Welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. We are here with Dr. Thikrishi. He is an associate professor in the Division of Pediatric Dentistry at the Ohio State University College of Dentistry, and he also is the inpatient director of dental services for Nationwide Children's Hospital. Dr. Thickershey, thank you for being on my show.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. Now, we have some people on the line, people that have called in to win the free flowers from Vice Denver. And what we have is lines 1, 2, and 3. We have Paul, Jennifer, and Joanne. Just pick a number from 1 to 3.
2.
2. Okay, that would be Jennifer. Let's go to Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
Good morning.
Hey, let me restate the question for those people that weren't tuned in, and then you can give me your answer, all right? The most reliable predictor of dental disease in adult teeth is A, if a person was breastfed as an infant, B, if a person had dental disease in their baby teeth, C, if a person's parents both wore dentures, or D, if the person is a Michigan fan. What's the answer?
If a child had dental problems when they were young.
That's right. That's right. B, good job. Hey, Jennifer, what do you do for a living? I'm curious.
I'm retired.
Retired what?
I'm a retired grandmother, but I used to do corporate events.
That means you're a great-grandmother if you're a retired grandmother, right?
Yes. I get to take grandchildren to the dentist.
You know, I think actually the answer would have been B and D, if you're a Michigan fan, probably. We probably should have had another choice there. But anyway, all right. Hey, Jennifer, stay on the line because my producer's going to get your information so we know where to send the flowers. And Paul and Joanne, thank you so much for calling, and please try again next week, okay?
Well, thank you very much.
Hey, you're welcome. Take care now. All right. So now let's get back to the topic at hand, and let's talk about fluoride, because I did a show about fluoride 2 or 3 weeks ago, and let's see how well I did, because I want to ask you, when should a child start using fluoride?
The actual ADA, American Dental Association, recommendation is the age of 2 is when we should start using fluoride.
Okay.
Sometimes we will look at a child's cavity risk, and we may recommend using a small amount less frequently, but earlier than 2 years of age. We do this based kind of on the child's history and what we find during an exam.
Okay, now in my show, we talked about infant formula for those kids that aren't being breastfed, and that it's best to buy the pre-packaged, already in a liquid form formula, rather than the kind that you would constitute with powdery and mixed water, because if you're mixing it at home, you're using fluoridated water to mix this infant formula. Have you ever dealt with that? Or
yeah, and there's actually a position paper on that as well, and it does depend on which formula and if it has any fluoride, you know, supplementation in it already. Most of them tend not to, but the trade-off is if a child gets a little bit too much fluoride, they'll get what's called fluorosis, which is
right, the little white spots,
on their teeth. So again, I would really do this after consulting with not only your pediatrician, but your pediatric dentist or your general dentist as well.
Right, right. And people can have their water tested usually at the county extension service. It's better to have your water. If you're a well water user, you need to have
correct
it tested.
And I believe there's like 20 or 22 counties in Ohio that are non-fluoridated.
That
counties.
Many?
Yeah.
Out of 88?
Yeah. There,
that's a
there,
fourth.
There are quite a few.
I didn't realize it was that many.
I believe it's, yeah, wow. Between 20 and 22, I think.
Wow. Okay, now you have a child. Let's say, remember I said I did my son at age 2, the one that wants to be a dentist. And what do you do at age 2? What do you do when you have a child that's a 2-year-old in your chair for the first time?
So what we're doing is really, we're doing an exam. So they come in. Before we even look, we talk to the parents about child's diet. You know, are they nursed? Are they formula fed? Combination? Who's doing oral hygiene? How many times are you brushing? What kind of toothpaste? We're asking all these questions ahead of time because more than likely, when we take a look, the child may cry, and that's normal for a 2-year-old, especially when they are meeting someone for the first time, a stranger.
Right, and they have that white coat on.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So typically, we have the parent hold a child, and we basically do what's called a knee-to-knee exam. So the dentist kind of wheels up right next to the parent. Our knees touch. Parent holds a child, puts their head on our lap, and we can do a really good exam during that time. And then we take that opportunity to talk about, you know, risks for dental trauma, other types of hygiene recommendations. We spend a lot of that first visit doing a lot of talking, preparing okay. The parents.
Good. And I've told folks to leave it to the experts when it comes to a dental appointment. So prior to that first appointment, Please don't say things like, don't worry, Johnny, it's not going to hurt. Don't say that because he didn't think it was going to hurt until you said that.
Right, right. You're absolutely right. I mean, kids take their cues from their parents.
Right.
And it's interesting because if you look in the literature on kids' dental phobias and dental fear, there's a good relationship between parental fear and anxiety and it being passed down.
Right.
And I've had kids before where, you know, the kid came in wonderfully and the parent was trying to be helpful and said something like, don't worry, this isn't going to hurt.
Right.
And suddenly the kid goes, wait a minute, why did they just say that?
Exactly.
What's going to happen?
And I've had other instances where I had a child in. The child did great. Now, parents are welcome to come back in the treatment room at my office, and I know you guys are good. You guys propose that as well to make the parents feel comfortable. But in this case, the parents didn't come back. So on the way out, I open up the door to the reception room just to say that your child is done. And the first thing out of their mouth was, did he give you a shot? And it's like, don't tell him that. Don't ask him that. See, if the child doesn't ask me, I don't tell them. And if they ask me, I'm truthful.
Right.
Because I don't think we should lie to kids.
Absolutely.
I did have an episode where this one little girl, she wasn't that little. She was about 10, about your son's age. And she had a cavity and she said to me, am I going to have to get a shot? And I said, yeah. And she started to cry. I said, why are you crying? She goes, my other dentist didn't give me a shot. I said, well, did you have like a tingly feeling in your tongue or your lip when you were there? She goes, yeah. I said, then he gave you a shot. She goes, no, he didn't. I asked him. And he said, no. And so, see, that set her up for an unpleasant appointment later before it was, she wasn't even in the dental chair yet, you know, per se.
Right.
And she was already crying. So my suggestion is don't lie to kids. If they happen to ask the question, be honest, but let them know that you're going to do it as comfortably as possible. We use the topical anesthetic. We use the small, small needle. We do it really slow. And you can literally numb kids without them knowing it.
Right. And a lot of pediatric dentistry dealing with kids is how you present it. Your language, your positive demeanor, and you can really make a potentially negative experience really, really positive.
That reminds me, I just remembered I was going to tell you the experience I had with the pediatric resident years and years ago.
Yes.
It was really cool. I wish I could remember his name to give him props. But here, I watched him work, and what he did was, see, kids can only really pay attention to one authority figure at a time anyway. And sometimes if mom's there, it's mom or dad. And sometimes with parental permission, of course, we'll ask if we can use them as a bargaining chip. You know, like, Johnny, if you got to sit still or we're going to have to ask mom to leave the room so that we can get some work done. Obviously, the parents have to agree to that in advance. But anyway, this gentleman, pediatric dentist, he would say, now, I need you to open up your mouth really big. And if the child wouldn't, he'd go, you need to open your mouth. He'd get like stern with them for a second. And then as soon as they would do what he wanted, he goes, what a good boy. What a good boy you are. You know, okay, now keep it up. And it was like 1 minute was sugary sweet. And the next minute was kind of stern, never mean, but like sweet, stern. And it was like, I think the child was a little confused. So they just did what he asked. And when I say stern, I don't mean mean, because you can never, ever be mean to a child. You have to say, I know it's uncomfortable. You don't like having your mouth open. You know, we're sorry, sweetie. Things like that. Right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I think one of the best, you know, things I teach and all our department teaches is we never ignore a child's, you know, complaint. So if they say, you know, I don't like that. Exactly. We apologize. We say, you know what? So sorry. We gotta fix your tooth, gotta get the cavity bugs out of there.
Right.
And you just move on. And what the kids, I think what the kids really don't like is when you say, come on, that was fine. That didn't hurt. That, you know, don't be a baby.
Exactly. And you know what? And one of my questions was, what steps are you taking to ensure that today's children don't grow up to be tomorrow's dental phobic adults? And that's one of them, because when I have to tell you, I don't know if you know this, but I'm kind of known for treating folks that are very nervous. Okay. I think the reason is they look for me because I do various types of sedation in the office. I do nitrous oxide, oral sedation, and IV sedation. And in speaking with these people, what I found, they have this common thread, and that is they all tell me they were hurt by a dentist as a child. And I know you don't like hearing that, but and I'm sure you're not hurting the children that you treat at the Ohio State University College of Dentistry, but it's still happening. See, when I started in practice 33 years ago and I'd hear these stories, I thought they were all happening somewhere else, or they'd happened 30 years ago in the hills of who knows where. Well, 33 years later, still in practice, right? And I'm still hearing the stories, which means it must be happening every day right here in Columbus, right here in Mount Vernon or wherever we are. And so how can we change that?
You know, one of the things that we do when we teach dental students, when we teach pediatric dental residents, is we try to train them to match the behavior management style to the needs of the child. So you're going to have a child who's 2 years old. They're going to have a short attention span. They're really not going to be able to follow detailed explanations. You have to tailor what you do. And right. I think a lot of times where there are problems, like you've mentioned, is when somebody says, well, this is the only thing I'm going to use. This works for everyone.
Right. And it doesn't.
And it doesn't. So, you know, part of what pediatric dentists do and what we train our dental students is recognizing the different types of behaviors a child may have and knowing how to respond to that.
I know that we learn different types of crying, and maybe mm-hmm. you can give me a little bit of insight into that when we come back from the break, okay?
Absolutely.
All right. Hang tight. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, and we'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more of Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko after these messages.
Estás escuchando Dentally Speaking con Dr. Kvitko aquí en su estación favorita.
Mom, has your son or daughter been begging you to learn to play guitar, but you don't know where to go or who to talk to? Well, fret no more. Call Guitar Lessons Columbus today at 427-3187. We'll teach your child how to actually apply and use the fundamentals, learn to play an entire song, make new friends with guitar, and even play with a drummer, all in the first month of playing. The earlier they start, the better. So don't wait. Call Guitar Lessons Columbus today at 614-427-3187 or check us out online at guitarlessonscolumbus.com.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Hi, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Are you an adult with teeth that are crooked? Maybe you had braces as a kid, but you didn't wear your retainer as often as you should have? Or maybe your parents weren't able to offer you braces as a child. Well, take heart. Now you can have straight teeth in 6 months. That's right. Using clear brackets and tooth-colored wires, we can straighten your teeth before it's even time for your next cleaning. So, if you have a high school reunion, a graduation party, or even a wedding in your future, why not let us straighten, then whiten your teeth? Interested? Call us to schedule a no-charge 6-month smiles consultation at 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588.
Dr. Kvitko and Associates.
If you love Asian cuisine, you owe it to yourself to try Wang's Teriyaki Asian Takeout Restaurant. Known for their better quality and lower prices, at Wang's Teriyaki, you can eat in, pick up your food for carryout, or let them deliver their delicious entrees right to your home, as fresh as if the chef cooked it on the grill right in front of you. Wang's Teriyaki is conveniently located at 4330 North High Street in Clintonville. Call them at 614-261-8881. That's 614-261-8881. Wang's Teriyaki, open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week.
And we're back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Everybody talks. That's what we're doing. And by the way, your mouth, your teeth, your smile affects everything you do. Every laugh, every chew, every kiss, every smile is dependent upon your teeth. So we want our kids to learn how to take care of them from a very, very early age. We are speaking with Dr. Thikashuri. I think I said that wrong. Thikashi. Sorry about that. I knew I'd mess it up at least once.
I've had worse. That's okay. That's all right.
Thikashi. And you know what it was? I was practicing it all week wrong because I didn't realize. Anyway. Okay. And he is associate professor at the Ohio State University College of Dentistry and also the director of inpatient dental services for Nationwide Children's Hospital. Now, tell me about the different types of crying, because one of the things you teach dental students who are going to mostly be general dentists is how to know when you should pay special attention to the crying, or when it's one of those cries where you know that you can just keep going.
Well, I think one of the things is it's going to be dependent on what you're doing. So if you're in the middle of something that you know is a painful procedure and the child is responding appropriately, then, you know, maybe they're not numb enough, or
you stop,
you know, you stop and you kind of reassess.
Yeah.
But we have other times, and I'll use example of, and I've had this happen to me where I'm using a drill, you know, as we do to clean mm-hmm. out cavities. We call it the electric toothbrush. And what happens is every time I hit the switch and the sound makes, the child starts crying.
Right. They haven't touched the tooth yet.
Yeah. Holding it, you know, away from the child. And I make sure the parent sees
that. I do that too. Hold it up. And I'll look at them. I'll say, see this?
Yeah.
Exactly.
And okay. And then the other thing would be the child who's crying where there are no tears.
Okay.
Where that's it's more of a behavioral type of cry. I mean, at times, some of the procedures we do can be unpleasant.
Right.
So child may not want to lay back, may not want to sit still. I mean, imagine an average 5 or 6 year old and ask them to sit still for about 20 minutes and see how many of them can actually do it. It's a challenge. And that's
that on adults, you know. By the way.
Yeah. I know.
These days, especially, right? Okay. So there's the stubborn cry. There's the, it hurts me cry. Mm-hmm. There's the, I don't want to be here cry.
Right. And sometimes those are, and the other times, we have to understand some children cope through crying. So I've had children who are crying, just tears, mm-hmm. and I'll stop and I'll talk to them and nothing is wrong. Nothing is hurting them,
right.
But that's how a child copes.
Okay.
So we don't want to stop them crying.
Right.
If we can get our work done and that's how the child handles it. Sometimes some of our more emotional children may handle stress like that. So we just kind of have to really assess everything in the context of behavior.
Cool. Now, I was just noticing it's been such a great show and I'm so enthralled in this conversation that I've gotten a little behind on my commercial breaks. So that we don't get interrupted, what I think I'm going to do is go to a break now. And that way, when we come back, we can just talk till the end of the show and I won't have to worry about that. Okay.
Absolutely.
Stay
That's
with
great.
Me. Okay. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko and we'll be right back.
This is Clark Kellogg. Stay tuned for more of Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
Vous écoutez à la radio du dentiste avec Dr. Kvitko ici sur votre radio préférée.
Hi, this is Richard Simmons. Do you listen to Dentally Speaking? Well, you should. Dr. Kvitko's here and he's going to help you with all of your problems. Are you teeth yellow? He can fix that. Are you missing a tooth? He could put a new one in. How is that?
That's very good. Thank you, Richard.
Experience, artistry, creativity. There are still professions where these words mean something. Studio B Hair Design still believe that practice does make perfect. Whether it's a precision cut, custom color, or something uniquely your own, Studio B can help you find just the right look, all in a comfortable, relaxing atmosphere right in the heart of Clintonville. Let Studio B Hair Design give you the best professional hair care at the best price. And should you need a quick gift idea, why not give a Studio B gift certificate for a birthday, anniversary, or subtle way of telling that special someone your hair needs help. So when looking for a fresh approach to your hair, do what lots of people do in Central Ohio. Trust experience. Trust the professionals at Studio B Hair Design. Studio B Hair Design, 21 Brighton Road, just off High Street in Clintonville. Call for your appointment now, 614-263-8661.
Hi, this is Jeff with Myers Jewelers. Make that special someone happy with a gift from Myers Jewelers. Myers Jewelers, the home of the world-famous Myers Jewelers Gold Rose, now available in 12 assorted colors. Give the rose that lasts forever. Another great gift is Pandora bracelets and beads. At Myers Jewelers, we have a Pandora boutique within our store, stocked with all the latest Pandora beads and jewelry. Come visit the family on Stringtown Road in Grove City and experience Myers Jewelers.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Are your teeth worn down or have crack lines in them? Do you remember when your teeth were an asset? Porcelain veneers can make your teeth sparkle again and all in two visits. Interested? Give us a call at 262-9588.
Dr. Kvitko and Associates.
While most schools raise tuition every year, Assist to Succeed of Columbus's Dental Assisting School in Dublin is still less than $5,000. And that includes everything. Hi, this is Kendra O'Reilly, owner of Assist to Succeed of Columbus's Dental Assisting School, and I'm so proud of my students that have already made the first step in securing a great future for themselves as an in-demand dental assistant.
Hi, my name is Chrissy Lees from Utica. I am a mother of two who works full-time. These weekend classes work great for me. The course is very interesting, and these instructors are amazing. They really want you to succeed.
It's only been 2 weeks, and I'm already getting hands-on experience in a dental office.
The next class begins on April 13th. Don't delay. To claim your space or to get more information, call 740-602-1250. That's 740-602-1250. Or go to assisttosucceedofcolumbus.com.
Say it's just a friend you don't know.
All right, and we're back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. We're speaking with Dr. Thikrishi. He is an associate professor at the Ohio State University College of Dentistry and director of inpatient dental services for Nationwide Children's Hospital. One of the things I wanted to ask you, Dr. Thikrishi, about Nationwide Children's is, what does that entail? I mean, are you the one that decides which child needs to be, say, sedated to have their care, or are you taking care of the children that are already in the hospital with life-threatening illnesses and they're there for 3 months or 6 months? Are you making sure they get dental care while they're in, or is it both?
Well, I'm not really making the decisions. All of our faculty really decide as far as if a general anesthetic is appropriate for a child. My job administratively there is really being the liaison between the dental department and the medical clinics.
Okay.
So when we have children who are admitted for medical illnesses and they have dental problems, I'm kind of one of the primary contacts. And then we treat the child in our department. But that's really my role.
So it's kind of, they want to rule out the dental disease, get that out of the way so that that's not affecting their medical condition.
Well, it would be, for example, a child who is, you know, undergoing chemotherapy.
Okay,
so, and so before
sure
they start chemotherapy, they want to make sure all the dental work is done so we don't have a problem during treatment, that type of thing.
Okay, and you make them fluoride carriers if they're going to have radiation that travels through the teeth, or?
You know, usually a lot of times we really increase the intensity and frequency of their appointments.
Okay.
So we see them more often. We make sure that their physicians understand what types of things they should consult us on during the course of care. And we have a really good relationship with a lot of the medical clinics at the hospital.
Good. That's good. Now, how would a parent go about deciding whether they should go to a general dentist or a pediatric dentist?
I guess number one, in the area that they live in, if they can access a pediatric dentist, that's fine. I would recommend that for younger children, contacting either their general dentist and seeing if they're comfortable treating younger children, and if not, finding a local pediatric dentist would probably be a benefit there.
Okay, and how many more years of training does a pediatric dentist have over a general dentist?
So typically, Ohio State University Nationwide Children's, we have our residency program is an additional 2 years.
Okay.
After regular DDS dental school. Some programs across the nation do a third year, but they also do a master's in public health or something.
Oh, I see. They get that.
And our residents do a master's, but it's done in 2 years.
Okay. That's pretty neat. Now, you guys did a Give Kids a Smile Day event.
Yes.
Two Saturdays ago, I think it was. And I wanted to find out, I went there just to kind of see if you guys needed any help. How did it go? How was the turnout?
It went wonderful. It was spearheaded by one of our department faculty, Dr. Liz Gosnell, and she actually made all the contacts. And really the impressive thing for me was she put together this team of dental students that did marketing, contacted companies for donations, did contacting parents. So we saw 150 kids.
Good.
Of all ages, and we really did full scope of care. So we did exams, extractions, crowns, anything that they needed. And it's the goal is it's going to be more frequently I think the hope eventually is every couple of months to
Wow.
get some type of an event. Now it's every 6 months.
Okay. And the kids then, so you said answer some of my other questions because I wanted to find out how you got the word out. To the parents, but it sounds like you had this big outreach.
They actually set up a phone number that they could call and schedule an appointment, or they could walk in.
Okay.
So they really had a couple of options.
Okay. Well, I want to commend you guys for that, for doing such a great thing, and hopefully some people listening will go to dentallyspeaking.com or drkvitko.com or teamsmile.org and volunteer for our Give Kids a Smile event May 3rd. at Nationwide Arena in conjunction with the Blue Jackets. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you, Dr. Thikrishi, for being on the show.
Thank you for letting me come.
And we'll see everybody back here next Sunday at 8. Bye-bye now.
Be sure and tune in next week for another exciting episode of Dentally Speaking with my dentist, Dr. Kvitko.
If you're interested in learning more about this and other dental health topics, go to dentallyspeaking.com to access full episodes of Dr. Kvitko's show.
If you would like to book Dr. Kvitko to speak at your next event, please call 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. Or send an email to drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com. That's drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com.